Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Man, we were in Las Vegas, D'Anthony.
Yeah.
Land of dreams.
Well, the land of broken dreams.
Broken dreams, there it is.
Yeah.
Broken dreams.
A lot of people got stuck here.
Yeah. A lot going on in Vegas. There's always, you know, crazy celebrities. SHOT Show was going on. The AVNs were going on, which was a fucking blast.
What I didn't know is that the Gay Porn Awards are the week before. So
is that true?
Yeah, so the Gay Porn Awards are the week before SHOT Show, and then there's SHOT Show, and then the regular Porn Awards are after.
I did not know that.
So it's like, now I feel a little self-conscious about having shown up early. Because I don't want anybody to be suspect. If I was gay, I would tell you guys. Don't worry.
Well, it's weird. A lot of people did ask us, like, hey, man, why are you guys here so early? And we're like, well, the McGregor fight. And they were sure.
Yeah, sure, you were. With that mustache? I don't think so,
that's
buddy.
That's a cover, brother. That's a fucking cover.
Yeah.
No, but sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky in Vegas, and we got lucky with our guest this evening, Mr. Pete Rose, a.k.a. Charlie Hustle. I know he's one of your favorites.
He is. You know, we talked about this during the interview, but actually, I don't know if we ever did discuss this. I meant to bring it. It was one of my bullets, but Charlie Hustle was originally an insult. It was Mickey Mantle. He's like, oh, look at fucking Charlie Hustle over here because he's running to first base, walks. I'm like, yeah, got 4,300 hits, so.
Yeah.
Mickey.
He's a fascinating guy, Pete. He's been on the show, I think, two or three times now at this point. Always a great interview. Always open and honest about everything. And on this occasion, though, however, we caught him right after the Houston Astros scandal broke.
Yeah.
And the cheating scandal, obviously, Pete Rose trends immediately anytime there's some form of cheating in any.
Which is funny because he never cheated. He broke the rules, yes, but he never cheated. You can't, like. I feel like you should be forced to bet on your team to win.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, like he admits it, and you'll hear it in the interview that, like, yeah, I don't think he's contrite. I don't think he's sorry he did it. I think he's sorry about the consequences. I don't think he's sorry he did it. But he does admit that he fucking fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was definitely against the rules, but, like, I'm betting on my own team, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got it. I mean, honestly, compared to this shit with the fucking Astros and Red Sox, that what he did, and he's the guy that's banned for life. It's not even in the same ballpark. They cheated to win games.
Mm-hmm.
He just bet money because he's a fucking lunatic and is so confident in his own ability, even as a manager, that he's like, fuck, we're going to fucking win.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to win. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so driven and focused and shit. That's what he's betting on. Either way, he's an interesting guy to talk to in this situation because he's got a very unique perspective about stuff. And to his credit, he doesn't really throw anybody under the bus.
No, but the craziest thing for me was, look, I oddly enough feel like I'm friends with Pete Rose. Like, I can say that after this many interviews. And, you know, when we see each other in Vegas, it's like it's an old bro type vibe now. But his agent was just like, look, man, Pete has gotten a million requests on this. He really doesn't want to talk about this cheating scandal or anything else.
Yeah.
Because of your relationship and the drinking bros and how much the community has gotten behind Pete Rose. And look, he signs autographs in Vegas probably 220 days out of the year there.
Yeah.
A bunch of you have come up to him and asked for autographs and said, hey, you heard him on Drinking Bros. He was like, man, because it's you guys, I'll do this interview and I'll talk about whatever you want. And I was super grateful. His agent runs a company called Fitterman Sports, and they do all of the biggest celebrities in the autograph world, which is how we get a lot of our jerseys. Mm. And a lot of our gifts and prizes for Drinking Bros Sports. We do a bunch of giveaways on the private group on Facebook on Drinking Bros Sports all the time for free. So you should just sign up for that. Last one we did was a signed Joe Burrow picture or a signed Trevor Lawrence picture for the national championship. We do things like that all the time. A lot of these come from Fitterman Sports. He's got Pete Rose. He's got Floyd Mayweather. He's got Mike Tyson. Mm. I know I've told the story about meeting Mike Tyson and hanging out with him. That was through Fitterman. That's how I met Tyson as well. And great guy, was able to help us with this interview. I want to give him a shout out in his company. I don't know how he does it, because that dealing with that those type of personalities all the time. Whew. That's imagine deal with Mayweather on a regular basis. Mm. I don't ask him because it's, you know, that's his job, and it's just like, hey, man.
I'm sure that's the last thing he wants to talk about is having to deal with Floyd Mayweather.
Boy, does he ever. But he's got some other awesome people. Earl Campbell and, I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Rudy Tomjanovich.
How big of a pen does Hakeem Olajuwon have to use? Is it like the size of this microphone stand?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen, have you ever met him in person?
Yeah, his
hands are the size of my fucking chest.
Ginormous.
Dude. Like, I've never seen hands that large in my life. It scared me the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a phobia where people are afraid of large things like whales or big ships or big buildings. And the first time I saw him, I was like, oh, shit.
Like, you understood that the fear is
real.
Yeah,
I almost fucked him up, to be honest. Because at this age, he's not going to be able to fight. I'll just kick his shins until he dies.
Can you imagine if you beat up Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yeah.
You were the guy who fucking beat up Hakeem Olajuwon. Ugh. That'd be really funny.
That's what we should do. We should start a new show Like, you remember Idiocracy where they had that show, Ow My Balls, where the guy just got kicked in the balls all the time?
Uh-huh.
We could do a version of that slash Punked where we just pick the nicest people that are celebrities and athletes and just fucking light their ass up.
Yeah.
Just show up and beat the shit out of them and run away.
Hakeem is one of those guys.
He's super nice, yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely one of those guys. But Pete, on the other hand, man, I wouldn't throw fucking fisticuffs. I wouldn't throw hands at Pete.
No, I feel like he could probably scrap.
He's still there. Yeah. And he's 78 and he's sharp as shit and just a fucking rad dude. But he's on it, man. And look, whenever you get to sit down with him, it's still, no matter what, how many shows we do or celebrities we meet, it's still one of those out of body experiences where you're like, man, it's still Pete Rose, mm-hmm. you know? So it was cool. So we have that interview coming up for you. First, we got some sponsors to pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air, D'Anthony. Talking about ghostbed.com/drinkingbrews.
Yeah, I don't know if he's an official Ghostbed user yet, but we'll get him.
Should be.
Maybe we'll bury him in a Ghostbed.
He's in that Vegas life, dude, where they just give you stuff. And,
yeah, sure.
you know, he's probably got some form of bed that was in Egypt, like a real fucking Tutankhamun was resting on it, you know? A real, what do they call them, princes? Is it two princes here before you?
Pharaoh.
Is that what I said now? Nope. Okay. Yeah, the pharaohs, dude.
We're not going spin doctor. This is not 90s college rock. We're not doing that.
Oh, man. What if the spin doctors just rolled through right now? Look, I'd like to see the spin doctors on a ghost bed. You know, that'd be a fun night.
Yeah.
Look, they've got a flash sale right now. Flash25 is the promo code. Use it. So you get 25% off. Don't know if we're supposed to be saying it, and I know I've said that the last few episodes, but it's true. Otherwise, if you're a military or first responder, you get 15% off forever. Scroll to the bottom of the page, and you can redeem that code. And with all of these deals, man, they've got the 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest, and that applies to all of this shit. I know they're running half-off adjustable bases right now. I know they got the new pillows, the sheets, the covers. And you should go there right now and get a mattress for Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, I like to get weird on Valentine's Day, so I need that. I need that protective cover. Actually, I'm going to buy a backup.
Yeah.
Double up.
Yeah, oh, you have to. Do you go out for Valentine's Day? No. I do. No? No? You don't take a lady out on Valentine's Day? I know it's cheesy, but I do it just to
No,
do it.
Because I think it sends the wrong message, to be honest.
Which is?
That I care. No, that's not right. It sends the wrong message that I can be, like, on it at 110% one day a year instead of no days a year. That's a Daniel Tosh joke. No, I'm pretty much dead inside, but when I care about somebody, it's pretty ridiculous. So it's like that kind of stuff I usually avoid.
I understand.
It seems superficial to me.
No, I get it.
I would rather do mushrooms and go to the lake or something.
No.
Do something that we're going to remember and not sit in a fucking place full of people. If 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and that is a fact, 55 actually, I think now, and second marriages, it's like 63.
Uh-huh.
So it goes up. That means somewhere between 55 and 58% of the people in there that are celebrating Valentine's Day will end up getting divorced. I don't want to fucking do that.
Probably. And when I go out to dinners, because I go out on Valentine's Day, I do the whole shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say who's getting divorced at these days.
Who's fucking arguing? Who forgot that it was Valentine's Day and this is a last minute reservation?
Yeah.
I mean, for the people watching, yeah, I probably should do it because it would be fun. But I don't make it. I don't do it for the girl.
Okay.
Like, I do stuff for her every day. So it's like, I'm not going to do that one thing during the day.
The only time Jesse and I bitched one another on Valentine's Day was everybody in the city told us to go to this one restaurant. Mm-hmm. We got there and the food was dog shit. And I was just like,
what was the place?
Fuck off. I can't remember the name of it. It had a great view.
Was it here?
Yeah, it was here. It was in Wilmington. It had a really, really great view. And it was down on the river down by where you live. Because where you live is gorgeous, man. Mm-hmm. You have the best views and all that shit. And so we went there and it was like, I don't know, man. You could have put that soup in a shoe. You know, and I was just like, fuck you, dude.
Everybody does like these special prefix If you go into
Meals,
a,
yeah.
if you go into a place that's not a 4 or 5 star restaurant and they have a prefix menu, avoid it because all that means is they cooked everything in bulk and now it's sitting under a heat lamp.
Yeah,
like if it's your local fucking Joe Dick's, whatever the fuck, it's gonna be shitty food.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a $25 special. Like, yeah, because it sucks.
I still get down on fondue, by the way.
Like the melting pot?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you, in high school, you piece of shit? The only time I've ever been in there was for my senior prom.
Let's see. Ours was, that was one of our proms. But I don't know, man. There's something hilarious about it and the meats and all that shit. Like, I get down on that.
I mean, I'm a fan of meat and cheese. It's just all the...
like the rest of it?
You have to go in with 80 people.
Yeah.
Like, no. I don't want to see that many people in life, much less sit with down to dinner with them. You know what I mean?
There was a Korean barbecue joint in L.A. that was great, Gukaku. And there's two of them. Mm. One in Hollywood and one the other thing. And those are the only two joints that I'll allow myself to cook my own food. Everything else, fuck off. That was a place where I had to cook my own burger once, and I was so put off by that.
No,
I was like,
I don't want to assemble or cook anything. If I'm going to a restaurant, you're doing all the work. As a matter of fact, I want you to work my jaw for me when I'm chewing.
Put on a pair of white gloves and just work your jaw for you. Who's our next sponsor? ExpressVPN.com /drinking bros. Protect your digital butthole. Look, man, ExpressVPN.com/drinking bros has been doing really, really well on our show. And I know why. Like, every day you keep seeing these fucking things that get ripped. I think it was the NBA today that got ripped, or NFL.com. And yeah, man, it's
there's always some asshole out there trying to fucking exploit something, whether it's
steal everything,
Chinese or Russian government, or just some neckbeard in his mom's basement trying to make some extra money.
Yeah,
it is what it is, man. I mean, I'm not going to hate on people for trying to do their thing. I'm a criminal too. So all you can really do is protect yourself, you know.
Protect yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
Go to expressvpn.com/drinking bros today. $7 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get 3 months for free. Best in the biz, dude. It's great. Plus, if you work a real job and you've got firewalls and shit, this will break through the firewalls. You can watch porn all day at work. It's great. Big fan of expressvpn.com/drinking bros. They're with us the rest of the year. Last but not least, talking about GetRoman.com/drinking bros. Get your boner on. Perfect holiday gift for Valentine's
Day. Yeah, I mean, look, if you're not using Roman on that day, on Valentine's Day, I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah.
What, do you think you're better than me?
Yeah. Come on, brother. You're nuts.
I'm going to take 30 of those things.
I'll fucking hop up the old abone.
I think if you take it, well, no, that's not true. I was going to say if you take enough of them, you just turn into a giant dick, but I'm not sure that's true.
No, it's not true. But what is true is it comes in a discreet package. You get free doctor's visit, and no one has to know. Plus, you don't want to go in and talk about your fucking boner issues with your doctor.
No.
Can't do this. Bullshit. I want to take a fucking 5-question survey. Boom, the shit shows up to my house. Wife doesn't know about it. Mistress, no one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I usually just talk to strangers on the bus about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And if you haven't boned in a long time for Valentine's Day, come on. Give your lady what she really wants.
Or have a nice little evening for yourself.
Yeah. Correct.
Get all boned up. Get some lube.
Go to the melting pot. Well, order the cheese. And then go ahead and dip that in. Dip your dong in. Get a dong full of cheese.
Nah, I would probably avoid that. That's going to burn your dick off.
Did you imagine if you did that at the melting pot? You just rolled
it,
in. Stirring it with your dick, and you're like, whoops.
Well,
or you just order the chocolate, you know, the dessert, put your boner in there.
It's still hot, though.
It is, but it's chocolate. Like, it's gonna freeze up real quick, right?
Mm.
Something to think about for your loved ones this holiday. Taking some boner pills from GetRoman.com /drinking bros.
Or you can just show off in front of your family.
Yeah. And just be like, hey, man. Or I've done this once. This is a true story. I've gotten a rager, and then just I put two shirts from the dry cleaners on, like with the plastic bags, and I hung them both on my dick. And I was like, hey, I used to run out of the room all the time. I'd be like, yeah, all right, what do you think? Should I go with the white or the black shirt? What am I wearing here? And you can at GetRoman.com/drinking bros. Get that boner on. Before we get into Pete Rose, is there any other dream celebrities? Because you're a diehard baseball fan. I was trying to think about this the other day. Somebody asked me, and they were like, hey, man, who else would you have on? Ricky Henderson's my...
From baseball, Ricky Henderson would be interesting, although I don't know what his mental faculties are now. I don't know what he's been doing the last 25 years.
Being awesome.
Nolan Ryan is one. He was my hero growing up.
Ah, shit. That'd be a good one.
But I would like to talk to people who were... I would like to talk to Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to, like, see where their head's at now. Because Mark McGwire was blubbering like an idiot at that fucking FBI hearing that time after he got popped because he was on everything.
Sure.
Androdiocene, which was technically legal at the time, but he was on all... Yeah. I don't know what he was taking, but probably D-ball. Jose Canseco would be another one just because he's wild as fuck. I don't know if you ever followed his Twitter account back in the day, but it used to be my favorite. He was the only reason. He is the only reason I have a Twitter account today.
I did, man. I got a...
It's just nuts. It's
I haven't seen it, but I have a nuts... I have a crazy story about Jose Canseco, man. he was supposed to do a movie that I was in, and I produced it, so we were trying to get him. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't do it, and he'd asked for a bunch of money. And at the last second, his agent goes, hey, man, if I knock, I think he was asking for like, I don't know, 25 grand or whatever it was, right? And he goes, what if I knock that number in half and give you Ozzy? No one would know. And I was like,
everyone would know.
What? And he goes, yeah, they're fucking twin. And I was like, dude, I still recognize the difference between Ozzy and Jose Canseco to me. Plus, he had dialogue. He'd speak in the movie. I was like, what the fuck are we going to do with this? Dumb shit. Mm. I don't know who his agent was, but that's the kind of shenanigans that go around. I played pool with him one night. He was doing blow. Did a bunch of blow with Jose.
Man.
Canseco.
I would like to talk to Barry Bonds, too. I know I'm talking about a lot of steroid guys, but that's the era I grew up in.
It is, yeah. Barry would be a great interview, I bet.
Yeah, because I think he would be... I don't know yet if he would be candid or not, because he's still working with some MLB teams now.
Well, he had that Fed shit too, like
yeah.
And homeboy went to jail for his buddy. Who was it, Greg Anderson?
Yeah, the trainer. Yeah,
yeah. Went to jail.
I can tell you who I would not want to talk to, and that's Alex Rodriguez. I don't want to have any kind of conversation with that guy.
I was just gonna say
I don't want to ever see him again. And I have to on Monday Night Baseball every fucking Monday night.
I know, and you're gonna have to see him during the Super Bowl too.
I'm sure. Yeah.
His goofy shit, but that's a perfect example, dude, of this steroid era of player. He's the only one who has come out of it better than he did when he was in baseball. Like, yeah. I fucking hated him as a player. I hated him even more once he got popped for steroids and all that other bullshit. I just thought he was fucking corny and cheesy and manufactured.
Yeah.
Much the same way I feel about Sierra and fucking Russell Wilson. However, Russell Wilson's not on steroids that we know of. But A-Rod, man, it's really come out on the other side of the shining.
Yeah, I mean, all those other guys have disappeared from public life. You don't see Rafael Palmeiro, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, Sammy
anywhere.
So you don't see any of those dicks anymore. Any of those guys that got popped.
It's strange. But then again, you have somebody like Pete Rose who didn't shy away from what he did, loves people, loves being an entertainer, loves being out in the public. And you can hear it in this interview how much he still enjoys baseball and has a zest for life.
Yeah,
we love him, and he's always welcome back on the show. Again, thank you, Fitterman Sports, for doing this for us. Let's hop into the show, shall we? Welcome to Drinking Bros. Pete Rose, thank you for having
us. How you guys doing? Been a long time, a year.
Great. Last time we were here, I think it was right before the World Series.
Yeah.
We gave some World Series predictions. You told us and the crowd, you were like, hey, do not take my predictions. These teams will be out in the first round.
You were up on the Braves.
Yes.
You like the Braves.
Yep.
I did too. We're actually Braves fans.
Well, Braves got a good ball club.
Yeah.
They had a good year last year. They're probably going to miss that third baseman.
Donaldson, that's what I think, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, it's a tough loss there.
They got, you know, the center fielder is a great player. The second
Ronald Acuña,
yeah.
Good
player. Oh, yeah.
Albies. Freeman's a really good hitter.
Yep.
They got some real good players.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some great talent. I saw they signed King Felix yesterday. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, he went for it. He was like 640 ERA.
Well, they gave him a minor league contract.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he pitches well, he could help him.
Yeah. And if he doesn't,
he's only 33, so if he can get back to where he once was.
Yeah.
It's a low-risk move for them.
It is, but it's $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. Who cares? And they gave Cole Hamels like $18
million for a year,
Cole, that's a good one. Cole, he can pitch.
He's great.
Is Keuchel back there?
I don't know.
They're undecided on Keuchel right now.
I don't know because he didn't even sign until June last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he may do that again. Who knows?
Like, yeah, we'll see what happens. With free agency these days, it's gotten to be so wild. Like, who would have thought all those guys would have gone halfway through the season before signing? So I think a lot of players...
Well, it's probably because most of them were too greedy.
Yeah,
maybe.
You know, I mean, you can give me a name of a guy, and I can tell you he's not going to get... let's take Kimbrel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to get what he was asking for that many years.
No.
For a closer, I mean, look.
For a closer.
How many closers have been good later in their career? So you had.
Well, he's a bite your nails closer.
Yeah.
Every time he goes out there, he puts a winning run or tying run on base, and your manager, you're sitting there biting your nails.
Yeah.
How many
closers? He did a good job, but as a former manager, you don't want a guy like that because he puts you through hell.
It's too much stress. Yeah.
Even towards the end of the year, he got hurt.
Cubs didn't even
make the playoffs, which was shocking to me.
Yeah, they got fucked up on that one. I mean, it was like they didn't spend a lot of money on him to get him over there, but they spent some money down the road to get him there.
Well, you're talking about the Cubs, you know, Bryant. Bryant's a good young player, but that's another guy who's not going to get what he thinks he's going to get.
No.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a really good player, but
MVP.
Chris don't knock in enough runs.
No.
You know, he had 30 home runs last year or something like that, and only had 70 RBIs.
Yeah.
But he didn't have nobody in front of him to get on base. I mean, Joe Maddon starts the season by leading off Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put your number one power hitter in the leadoff spot.
Which is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's all the analytics stuff. Like, yeah, he's got the best on-base percentage, so that means he's going to be teed up
or
whatever.
Yeah, but if you get him on first, you need three hits to score him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's slow as shit.
Does that say anything in analytics?
There's no pinch runner in Major League Baseball.
I listened to Joe Maddon last year talk to one of his an interview, and my son and I were listening to it, and he talked for 10 minutes about why he hits the pitcher eighth. And when he got through talking, I said, what did he say?
Yeah.
He's never explained why did him, Brian Price, and La Russa, the only three managers since 1869 to hit the pitcher eighth.
Well, La Russa
did it. The rest of us wrong?
La Russa did it because he thought he had some good hitting pitchers. Like, yeah, Brent Cankiel. He had some of those guys that were actually good hitting pitchers.
Put him fourth or fifth.
I know.
Exactly, right? That Ohtani kid, they got him at fourth or fifth, you know?
Yeah, but
he's a hitter.
He's different.
Yeah, he's
what do you think about this? I want to run this by somebody that knows baseball, and nobody knows it like you. Why don't they have Ohtani hitting? Why don't they have him as a DH and closer? Like, why are they trying to start him? He has got electric stuff, and out of the bullpen, throwing as hard as he does with that sharp slider, and the ability to hit home runs.
Well, we don't know if he's got electric stuff. He had electric stuff in Japan.
That's true,
okay? Now, let me tell you something about Japan baseball. You guys may agree, may disagree. When you compare Major League Baseball with Japanese baseball, it's like comparing the CFL with the NFL.
It's double-A baseball over there, right?
So why do so many players from here go over there and become stars?
Yeah.
How many good Japanese players have we had over here?
Two.
Matsui, Ishiro.
And now Ohtani. So three, really.
Well, if Ohtani's had 1 year.
Yeah.
Let's let him play 4 years.
We'll see. Yeah.
Four or five years before we say he's a great player.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure.
Okay, because I think
he's got potential.
Ball away from him.
For
he's
sure.
trying to run before he hits the ball. He's a power hitter, but he swings like Ishiro.
Exactly.
Ishiro swing the bat like he's running before he hits the ball.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he'll.
I hope Ohtani does well.
Maybe he'll learn
like
something
nice
from Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon, and now they're both. And so that could be their three, five guys.
That's a pretty good middle of the lineup.
Yeah.
Plus Pujols. Like, he's diminished in his old age, but he had 97 RBI last year.
Well, he still knocks it over.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah.
And he just turned 40, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. And the Angels have to be desperate to make the playoffs at this point, right? Like, they've
they spend all that money.
They've spent so much money.
They just don't spend it in the right areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Joe Maddon the answer? If he's the answer, why didn't the Cubs want him anymore? They give him $5 million a year for 5 years.
Joe Maddon's one of those guys.
And he won a World Series. He'd been in the playoffs. Why didn't they want him back?
I don't know.
He's one of those guys.
And he wins everywhere he goes.
He does
win. Even at Tampa.
But the way he wins, he makes more with less. And I think the Angels, it's an interesting point you made because they don't spend money in the right areas.
Yeah.
So
it's a good point.
He's the guy to bring into that situation because he can
make
more.
Let me ask this question. You followed the World Series when the Cubs won, right?
Yeah.
How many different times did Joe Maddon screw up to Game 7 in Cleveland?
Four? I think it was four.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Four times.
Yeah.
ESPN did an analysis.
And he still come out smelling like a rose.
Yeah, no. Look, if you. Winners write the history books. That's how it works, right?
That's how it works.
It happens at war and it happens at sports. This is the way it is.
And yeah, I guess Joe wanted to go back there because he spent so many years with the Angels before he went to Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has a little history.
He was a coach out there.
I hope he does well
before he was ever a manager.
Because as a baseball fan, that's all I am.
Yeah. Sure.
I want to see Mike Trout in a World Series.
So do I.
I want to see him in the playoffs.
He's the face of the game.
Get him in the playoffs.
As a baseball fan, you want your best players to play in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's the showcase of baseball.
Those years, like that year when, and say what you want about Barry Bonds, but that year that the Giants played the Angels in the World Series, that was amazing. One of the best World Series.
You always want your star players.
It was one of the best World Series.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like the Pro Bowls this week.
Yeah.
How do you have a Pro Bowl football
with the two Super Bowl teams?
With the two best teams represented.
Crazy, right?
I never understood why they
do that. Couldn't
you
have it a week after the Super Bowl?
I think they tried, and what happened was everybody after the Super Bowl was exhausted. They were partying. They were going out, and they said, hey, guys, we're all checked out of this. So, therefore, the week of, they were losing about 12 players out of that game, and they were like, look, we've got to pin this back before the final week. And
I guess they had a good reason. I don't know.
Yeah,
is. And you can't do it midseason because of potential injury and shit like that. You're not going to do it then.
Yeah. Oddly enough, today, by the way, Hall of Fame was announced. I don't know if you saw this about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I did.
Derek Jeter and Larry Walker.
Walker by six votes.
Yes.
Jeter got every vote
but one.
So he was
75.2%?
Do you follow that as closely as everybody else does?
Sure I do. Wouldn't you like – Jeter got every vote but one.
Who the fuck did not vote for Derek Jeter, dude?
Wouldn't you like to sit down with the guy that didn't vote for Derek
Jeter? I think they should make it public. They should make it public.
They will.
They will eventually, yeah.
So we won't know who that asshole is.
It's just like last year, Rivera become the only guy to get 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? My answer to that was, that's no big deal to me. Because I want to sit down and talk to the guy that didn't vote for Willie Mays.
Exactly.
Did not vote for Stan
Musial. Nolan Ryan.
Did not vote for Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
I want to hear what they got to say.
Like, come on, man.
And how do you justify it?
How do you justify it? How do you justify it?
And especially with...
How do you justify Tony Perez, who has 1,700 RBIs,
but
having to wait 10 years to go into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many World Series was he involved in?
He was in a lot.
Yeah. A lot?
He was a big red machine.
Yeah.
Five.
Five, I think,
and
total.
And he won three, right?
I mean, we won three, lost two, and I won one in Philadelphia and lost one.
Yeah.
So he's got 1,700 RBIs, three rings.
Close. Yeah. Is Larry, a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
Like, one time he had the most home runs for Latino players. He's the only Cuban ever to make the Hall of Fame.
Is that real?
Only.
How is that possible? After all this time.
Well, who else are you going to put in there as a Cuban player?
That's a good point, I guess.
Yeah, because Clemente was
Puerto Rican.
Puerto
Rican, yeah.
Tony Oliva is a Cuban, but he don't
Oliva,
quite
he's
on the borderline with Dave Parker and Al Oliver.
Yeah.
They're all about
same. You think some of those guys are going to get in, Parker and, like, middle-of-the-road guys?
Well, if I'm voting for Dave Parker, he's in. Here's a guy with 2,800 hits, a batting champion, Golden Glove, MVP, world champion.
He was a very underrated
leader of a real good team.
Yeah.
And he really helped me with the young team I had in Cincinnati when he played for me. So Dave Parker was, he was just a really good baseball player.
Who else is out there? I mean, obviously other than yourself.
I think Steve Garvey deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
First baseman from the Dodgers.
Yeah. Steve Garvey got from the Padres.
You know, he's a 300 hitter, a Golden Glover, an MVP, a world champion, 200 hits six times. Yeah. He's got good stats, too. He had a lot better stats than Alan Trammell.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
it's true.
And they put Alan in two years ago, the Veterans Committee. I thought they overlooked Steve that year.
Yeah,
and I'm not against anybody getting in. God bless Alan Trammell. God bless Larry Walker.
Sure.
Okay? I'm not even familiar with Larry Walker's stats. But
280 hitter, I think, over his career.
But he played the majority of it in Colorado.
Like 360 home runs, give or take, I think, something like that.
Is that all the home runs he's got?
I think so. Let me look.
You'd have to have 400.
He might have just crossed four towards the end. But to me, again, it's sad
They just started talking about Larry Walker the last couple weeks.
Yeah, because they don't have anybody left. Like,
It was sad to me because you're not talking about another guy. What's your opinion of this guy? All right, Curt Schilling. Does he have Hall of Fame stats?
Yes. And
he got
60% of the vote. I think he does.
He's got 200 wins.
Yes.
There's guys with 300.
Well, I think in today's era, right, there isn't a lot of guys that can even get to 200 anymore.
Yeah, but why? Jim Cott's got 272 with 16 straight Golden Gloves, and he can't get a smell. What about this guy?
He deserves in, too.
That's a good point. Wins. So how do you
here's a guy I'll give you. 270-some wins. I believe he's got 270-something. and they named a procedure after him.
Called Tommy John.
Tommy John, yeah.
How come he's not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. All those guys should be. Why are they so strict with the amount of people they let in the voting is what I don't understand.
Well, it's because there's only so many votes, and you have to get X percent of the vote. You get 10 votes per card, right?
Real quick. Okay.
You got to hold that up.
Here's a ballot. This is a ballot right here. I'm drawing a square.
Okay.
Okay? There's 1 through 10 spaces.
Yep.
If you put my name in number 1 and his name in number 3 and his name in number 4, we all got one vote.
Yeah.
So there it's not weighted, is what you're saying?
There never will be and never has been a situation when there was more than 10 guys deserving of going into the Hall of Fame. But baseball's got this thing about it where they only want one or two or three guys to go in every year. So the voters will look at the ballot and they'll say, I'll put this guy in this guy next year. Oh, I'll wait for next year for this guy. I'll wait for next year for this guy. Who gives a damn if there's 8 guys that go into the Hall of Fame?
That's what I understand.
Is everybody in a hurry? Yeah. Football don't care.
Yeah.
They put whoever makes it in there.
Yeah.
See, let me tell you something. There's a lot of really, really good players. And Dale Murphy was a really, really good player.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And he's a really, really, really great guy.
Yes.
Guy I know Murph real well. But there's guys that just come up a little short because of longevity. And one of the criteria for the Hall of Fame is longevity.
Right.
And, you know, Murph don't quite have 400 home runs.
He's at 398, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
500 is like a plateau.
Yeah. And
3,000 hits is like a plateau.
And he's got 1,255 RBIs, 1,500 is another plateau.
Yeah, 1,800 RBIs is like a plateau.
The lower end, I don't know what the lowest Hall of Famer is, but it's somewhere around there.
There's been guys that's been put in the Hall of Fame in the last 7-8 years with 2,300 hits.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Martinez.
Yeah. It was
DH.
Because
he was a good hitter.
He was the first one they judged as solely a DH. He was a one-dimensional player.
Well,
they had to because
Poppy's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's absolutely why I find it hard
for a guy to make the Hall of Fame with 2,350 hits.
Well, what do you say about a guy like Fred
Especially
McGriff?
Especially a guy who plays 18 years.
Yeah.
What do you say about a guy like Fred McGriff who's got 493 home runs?
Crime Dog was a hell of a hitter, too.
He got 493, and you're not going to put him in the Hall of Fame?
There's a lot of arguments for Fred McGriff. You know, another guy that's got good stats, I think, is the second baseman to play for the Giants.
Jeff Kent.
Yes.
Yeah. He is the best hitting, other than Stan Musial, in the modern era, he's the best hitting second baseman of all time. Honestly.
Well, Joe Morgan was pretty good, but
power numbers-wise. Joe Morgan was better than pretty good. I believe you put
so many guys in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to name them, that don't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And that's why you can put anybody in, no one says anything.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
See, because most of the voters, you could ask them, what's the criteria to go to the Hall of Fame? They wouldn't be able to tell you.
There's no single definition for that. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Where it used to be 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, you're automatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because the only guy that's got 3,000 hits that's not in the Hall of Fame is Palmeiro.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he's got both. He's got 500.
There's two guys.
Who?
You're the other one.
Well, I got 4,000. I don't have 3,000.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. There it is.
That's fine. But would I like to make the Hall of Fame? Damn right I like to make the Hall of Fame because you want to be appreciated for what you did. But I'm not going to go to bed every night the rest of my life and pray that I make the Hall of Fame.
No one can take 4,000 hits away from you.
I know that. Ever. I got all the records.
But here's the other thing.
I bet on my own team to win. So
that's what I was going to say.
I didn't do what steroid guys
did. Or you didn't have buzzers underneath your jersey because a lot of that has come up this week.
That's what I wanted to lead into.
Your name has been trending on the top of Twitter all week.
If I'd have played for the Astros, I'd have got 5,000 hits.
Easily. Easily.
But let me tell you guys one thing, okay? All a pitcher tries to do to a hitter is keep him off stride.
Yeah, trick you, yeah.
Okay? So if I got a sign that I'm going to give you that tells you a changeup is coming, one thing you're never going to be is off stride.
You're not going to be on your front foot.
Right. You're not going to be on your front foot.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay?
And which means you still not only do you see the ball and hit it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're the pitcher. And you got a fastball, a slider, and a changeup.
Yep.
And you're going to go up. And he's going to guess hit off you.
Yep.
He's going to say, I'm looking for a curveball. Mm-hmm. And you throw a curveball. He'll hit a rope somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
But when you're giving someone the signs electronically, every pitch he's looking for you're not guessing. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's
real.
It's going to be there.
So that guys like
if they tell you a changeup's coming, then you know a changeup's coming.
Yeah. So
you
not
don't have to worry about the fastball.
Not only are you going to be on time and hit the ball, but you're going to hit it with more power because you're not on your front foot.
Yeah, because all the Houston players were never off strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They strike out because they swing at bad pitches.
And there were some big home runs hit in critical situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the game, but it's not
stealing signs
is
part of the game for sure.
As me
yeah.
In the dugout. Managing the Reds, trying to steal the signs from the third base coach.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I want to know the steal sign. I want to know the hit and run sign.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know the squeeze bunt sign. And if that guy's stupid enough not to change his indicator,
yeah.
If the guy's on second, the catcher's not is he too stupid to change his indicator,
right.
Then I'm going to know the pitch is coming.
Yep.
When I played, I never wanted anybody on second base to tell me what was coming. Because
that's not the hitter you were.
No, he yeah. might think it's going to be a slider low and away, and it might be a sinker up and in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me thinking low and away, is I'm just going to get hit right in the ribs now.
Right.
Because he threw a sinker up
you're
and
gonna
in.
You're going to lean in, yeah.
So if he's not 100% right, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Tony Gwynn was the same way. So some catchers in baseball used to tell Tony Gwynn what pitch was coming because they wanted to fuck with his head.
It screwed you up.
Yeah.
It happened to me one time in Philadelphia.
Because it all happened from brain to hands with you guys.
I come up to bat one time. Gene Mock's the manager. This is a true story. And Shad Crawford's umpiring. And Mike Ryan's catching. And I step in the box first time up. Mike says, Gene told me to tell you what's coming. He said, here comes a curve. Here comes a fastball. Here comes a changeup. And everyone he told me, I turned around to Shaq and said, Shaq, tell him to shut up. I don't want to know. He said, he's not breaking the rules. So three times up, he told me every pitcher was coming. Okay, so finally we got a man on first, top of the ninth at old Connie Mack Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Scores tie 1-1. He said, I'm going to throw you a curveball. I stepped out of the box. I wasn't a guess hitter. I stepped back in. He says, I'm still going to throw you a curveball. And I said to myself, I'm going to look for a curveball. So I looked for a curveball, and I hit the sumbitch off the scoreboard, okay? We won the game 2-1. Next day, we got some pregame rain, no batting practice. I come up to bat. I hit the plate. First time up, I look back and say, hey, Mike, how you doing? He said, Mock told me to tell you to go fuck yourself.
that's how long it
lasted.
I fucking love baseball.
That's how long it lasted.
There's no other sport on earth that carries the character and the interpersonal relationships and the rivalries like baseball from
yeah.
Like think about a guy like Greg Maddux. We've talked about this on our show before. He would pitch to a guy thinking about how he's going to pitch to him 3 months from now in another
yeah.
series.
Yeah. That's a good
pitcher. You don't see that in any
other
sport ever.
It's called setting him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't ever see that. And it's the same with the interpersonal relationships.
But here's what Maddux and other guys did. Other great pitchers. Okay. I tell this to young kids a lot. A lot of pitchers today are stupid, okay? What I mean by that is they get you 0-2. You know, they got a great fastball, great slider. They get you 0-2, they'll throw a changeup curveball.
I'm going to waste a pitch.
And you hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
When you get a guy 0-2, 1-2, you got to put that sumbitch in your back pocket.
Mm.
Get him out.
Yeah.
Always get him out with your best pitch, okay?
Yeah.
If ever you're a hit of a hitter, never come with your third or fourth best pitch.
There's no pitcher.
There's a reason why you have the best pitch.
Yeah, there's no
that's
good.
That's when you get him out
there's
with.
There's no good pitching coach that would tell you to go with your third or fourth best pitch. To
why catchers call that? I have no idea why they do that.
Yeah.
If I got a great fastball and I get you 0-2, why don't I want to throw a changeup?
But you've got a different mindset than a lot of people out there these days. Not just these days, but even when you played. Like, there's a quote about you. And it says, no one's ever done more in professional sports with less than Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Like, you're not 6'3", 250-pound fucking stud
but
athlete.
But one thing I had
4,200 hits.
One thing I had that everybody else has that plays in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't had an eye coordination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and good eyesight.
I had
so
good
two
eyesight,
things,
yeah. You ever see my girlfriend? you got to have hand-eye coordination, and you got to use the whole field.
Yeah.
You know, if I was playing today, I think it's safe to say just the way I hit the ball in these ballparks they're playing in today.
Oh, you'd be hitting 25 home runs
a
year.
25 home
yeah,
runs.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Most I ever hit was
because you
16.
Just got to put the barrel on the fucking ball at
you
this point.
You can hit line drive home runs, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't have to be tape measure
Yankee
home
Stadium
runs.
And right field. If you played in the American League.
Never hit a tape measure home run. You got 755 of them.
Yeah. He hit 40 home runs twice and never hit fewer than 20 for 16 straight years. That's how he made that record. It's consistency and longevity, like you said.
Good. I mean, Hank was really good.
Yeah. And the wrist.
And Hank was one of those guys that he would be fooled on his front foot but he wasn't full with his hands.
It was all on the wrist for that guy.
His hands
man.
Were always back.
He is so strong.
Still be full, hit off your front foot if you got the bat still cocked.
Oh, yeah.
And Hank always had the bat cocked.
Mickey was the same way.
Yes.
Like, he just had those
but
strong
was
forearms
more wide
and
out.
Yeah, true. Stance. Yeah, he did. Yeah, true. He didn't really stride that much.
So well, Mickey wasn't really a good hitter.
He was a good power hitter.
Oh, a great power hitter.
Yeah, but you know, not
another
again.
Another 5-earned home run guy.
Yeah.
What do you think should happen with these Astros, the manager, the players? I look at Altuve. Like, he could be up for the Hall of Fame. How? After
not
what,
yet,
you, what,
will
what you've
be.
Done, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because it's really a rough situation to put the commissioner in.
Yeah, Manfred's under a lot
of who does
of
he pick
right
out who he's going to find?
And he knows that all that is going to be fallout for Major League Baseball,
I think
too.
It's I don't know what the word is, but you got this manager got fired, this manager got fired, this manager got fired, and this general manager got fired.
So Hinsky and the general manager of Astros and then Joey Cora got fired.
The Red Sox.
Yeah, yep. And then Beltran and the Mets.
So three managers and one general manager got fired.
Yep.
Okay? And when you stole the signs of game to whoever you gave them to, who benefited? The hitter.
The players, yeah.
No hitters got fined or anything.
I've been
not
saying
yet.
This for ever since this story broke. I'm like, if AJ Hinsky's getting banned for a year, Jose Altuve needs to be banned for a year. Not for receiving the sign, but because of this other stuff.
How do you say Jose Altuve didn't do it and Mookie Betts didn't do it?
I know.
You right? can't say Mookie Betts did it and JD Martinez didn't do it.
Exactly, yeah.
See, like, who knows? That's the problem the commissioner's having.
Yeah. Well, look.
Tough
unless
choice.
Someone comes out and really verifies that he had the buzzer.
Yeah.
Nobody knows inside the clubhouse better than you. Don't you think all the players secretly know who and what
well,
each person did?
I don't think you're stealing signs for hitters and for the Astros or Red Sox that the other players don't know.
Yeah.
So let's just wait a while, and there'll be a couple players get traded, be pissed off at this
or
team,
retire or whatever
and
the fuck.
They can't wait to spill their guts.
Yeah.
But everybody right now online is saying this. Look, Pete Rose didn't steal any signs.
No,
he didn't use any buzzers.
Pete Rose,
why isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
Pete Rose bet on his own team to win. Actually, you made you said something one time. I think it was in the early 2000s. You were like, I bet on my own team to win every goddamn night.
I did.
Yeah.
Like every night.
Well, you know, I was wrong. Okay, let's get that
straight. Of course.
I was wrong, but if you think about it, if you're in Baltimore, if you're in Boston, if you're in L.A., if you're in Atlanta, you should want your manager to bet on his team every night.
Yeah.
So what's he going to do?
I agree with you.
He's going to do everything he can to win the game.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those.
But I broke the rules, so it wasn't right.
Right.
But
it's like it's kind of like weed. Everybody was smoking weed way before it got legal.
Well, it's just
you know
like,
what I mean?
It's just like if we're getting ready to watch a Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And you're betting on number three, and the jockey's betting on number three. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's.
But now the jockey's betting on number four. I'm not happy about that.
Oh yeah,
but it's the letter of the law versus the intent, right? So the letter of the law says don't bet in any sporting event you're involved in, and the intent is
I know what the rule is. I broke it. I was wrong.
But the intent is that you don't want the integrity of the outcome of the game to be affected. If the manager or player of the team is betting on himself to do well, that is not affecting the integrity of the game. It's promoting it, if anything, right?
I'll tell you guys a couple of things that you don't know that you don't realize. Me making this mistake I made probably cost me $90 million. Okay? That's what it probably cost.
Yeah, I
can
see that, yeah.
Okay? I'm from Cincinnati. The Reds play on Pete Rose Way. I've been suspended 30 years.
And you're not allowed in the ballpark?
I've never been in the Reds clubhouse.
Yeah.
Never allowed to go in the Reds batting cage underneath the stadium. Never been in either one of those places.
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah. So one
and
of
they
the,
play on Pete Rose Way.
One of the greatest baseball minds in history is not involved
you're
in major
tell me
baseball.
I can't help young players in a batting cage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The baseball treats me like I'm Al Capone.
It's crazy. Have you ever had a conversation with the current commissioner?
Yes. He's a good guy.
And what's his...
He does seem like a good guy.
Yeah, but what has he said to you? Like, hey, man, eventually I will overturn this.
Well, I got
this
scared when I got in front of him because he asked me, do you still bet? And I said, no. Then when he come back, left the room, when he come back, I said, I want to rephrase that. I still do bet, but I never bet illegally anymore. I live in Las Vegas. See, I don't think there's anything wrong with me being 78 years old. And if I want to bet on a hockey game tonight,
it makes the game more exciting.
I go home and watch it.
Yeah.
That's my entertainment.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, there's a hell of a lot more behind me that's in front of me. Okay? And if I want to bet on a baseball game, am I hurting you? Am I hurting him? Am I hurting her? It's my enjoyment. And by the way,
we bet all the time. By the way,
I don't bet on anything I can't watch.
Okay? No, we actually do that. So games that we don't really give a shit about, we'll bet on them to make ourselves give a shit about that game.
Just watch them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And now that gambling's legalized in all 50 states, the Supreme Court passed it.
Okay, you guys know that there's 30 managers in baseball,
mm-hmm. right?
Do you know that every night, 15 minutes before the game, the manager has to email his lineup to the commissioner's office? You know what the commissioner does with it?
Mm-mm.
Emails it to the MGM Grand.
Really?
That's a fact.
So they can set the
spreads?
So no one can get screwed in the casinos.
Yeah.
Like you might say Scherzer's pitching, and all of a sudden he scratches.
Right.
Yeah.
15 minutes for every game.
So what I'm hearing is that Major League Baseball likes gambling when it benefits them.
Well, it's money. But it's all about money.
From a PR perspective, they try to distance themselves. So they're hypocrites.
Well, I remember one time when all the sports gambling came around that the commissioner of the basketball says, hey, I hope guys take their phones to the games and bet during the game. Because they're all getting a percentage of it.
So we're really close to that now. NFL just signed a deal with Caesars.
Yeah.
Caesars Palace is going to be the official gambling app for the NFL because of the Raiders.
How about this one? We got a new stadium going up here, $1.7 billion. Okay?
Isn't that
inside
crazy?
The stadium, there's going to be a window to make bets on the games.
Oh, shit. They're going to have a betting kiosk in the game?
Inside the game. Correct.
Well, it's Vegas. Of course they're going to do that.
Well, could you imagine? Well, it's not a gambling casino. It's a stadium.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you imagine 70,000 people going to every game on Sunday? How many people are going to bet on the game?
Living and dying on every single play, too.
Especially if they open up the prop bets, like halftime scores.
Sure they will. Like
If you open up the prop bet and say you can bet on the second half, all those drunk people at the fucking Raiders games here in Vegas are going to be betting that second half bet for sure.
But it's fun for everybody. So
it is fun.
Cares?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. We gamble every single week.
Yeah, so we have a sponsor called MyBookie.com, right? Again, once the Supreme Court legalized sports gambling across the United States, you can do it from your phone anywhere.
19 states now?
50 now.
50?
All 50, yeah. So you can do it from your phone. You can do it from your app, and they update it every quarter. Well, if you want to bet on quarters, you can bet on quarters.
If I was gambling today like I did, I didn't do anything wrong because my problem was I used a bookmaker.
Yeah, I know,
nowadays,
right?
Nowadays, you don't need a bookmaker.
So stupid.
So everything's legal.
Yeah.
So stupid.
It doesn't exist anymore.
But let me tell you one thing. If I'm managing the Reds, which I did, and it's 15 minutes for the game, I don't want to have to worry about emailing my lineup to Major League Baseball. I'm worried about the guy warming up and getting ready to play the game.
That's weird. It's weird
it
that
is
they
weird.
Require
yeah.
that.
But that's the rule.
It is.
Well, the rules are like I was talking about before, the letter versus the intent of the law. Now, let's talk about the intent, because if the intent is to protect the integrity and Henske gets booted and the GM gets booted, Cora gets booted, and fucking
Beltran
gets booted, what happens to these players now? What do you think should happen to these players?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I can't answer it because I just think it's a real jackpot that Commissioner Manfred's in. I kind of feel for him.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel for him because
he's in a position where he's got to save
baseball. I don't know what the guy can do, because who do you determine who you're going to fine?
Yeah.
Unless you know that so and so and so and so and so and so did signs. And
right.
By the way, Hinch twice took the bat to the machine.
Yeah,
and so destroyed
there was a monitor.
But his problem was he didn't make the player stop it.
He just knew
it, but he didn't make him stop it.
We had this
and
exact
when you're manager of a baseball team, you're the rules.
Yep.
And if you tell them to stop it, they stop it.
Yeah.
That's why he got fired.
I'm feeling pretty good right now because I said the exact same thing a week ago.
Yeah, Dan's been on fire about this.
I hate it. It's like if you're Eric Henske.
Who would you fine?
Everyone. Everyone involved in it. That I could
prove
those
involved.
Well, it's true. Then that opens the whole can of worms. Like, you have to start getting players to testify against each other, which is a reminder how this all started.
If you find Bregman and Altuve,
what about
Springer?
Springer. And
why should he be fined if he didn't do it?
It's true. That's true. I mean, that brings to mind the Shoeless Joe Jackson thing, right?
Yeah.
Because typically the Black Sox era, most people think that Jackson, well, he had a great series, first of all.
370.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 370.
But his problem was, I don't know what he went into the series mentally. He hit 370, but he took the money to throw the game.
It's true.
He took the money.
Yeah.
All right, and then that's sure. That's the crime right there.
Yeah, like
not that he hit 370.
And he was planning on fucking over the New York mob, by the way, or the Chicago mob by doing that, which is kind of a bold move.
That's why his situation's not even close to my situation.
No, it's not.
And I hate it when people compare me and Joe Jackson.
Not you, but like he was a guy that was like, he wasn't as involved as everybody else.
Right.
But I'm thinking about Henske. So technically he wasn't as involved because he wasn't doing it. He wasn't involved, but he let it happen.
Well, it's hard to be involved in stealing signs when you're managing a game.
Yeah, there's too much going on.
You got to watch every pitch. You got to be, you know, giving signs and worried about going out to argue on a play.
Right.
You know, you're not down underneath the tunnel.
No, you can't be.
You know, when a guy's hitting a buzzer because the changeup's coming.
Yeah. But I mean, what is it? Well, let's talk.
Will they ever manage again, you think? Him and Cora?
No way.
No?
Nope.
And here's.
Why do guys who take steroids get to play a baseball at their suspended 80 games?
It's a good question, isn't it?
It's a great question.
Well, no, it's like the first offense is like 50, then 80, then a whole season, and then banned for life, right?
Okay.
Like
the four games. Nobody had that yet, though.
Not yet. I mean,
we're close.
Yeah, we're getting close. It'll happen to somebody.
I think talent outweighs managers. I think Major League Baseball knows they can make more off the talent on the field versus the manager.
Sure.
Because let's face it, Henske goes away forever. The fans aren't paying for Henske. The fans aren't showing up betting on Henske.
Yeah, but he was a good manager.
He was a good manager, and that's fine. But you still want to see your superstars play.
You got rid of two managers that both won World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, if I'm paying for a manager, I want a character like Pete Rose on the sidelines and be like, all right, great. That's who as a fan, that's who I'm paying to go see.
Well, Houston probably got Hench, and Cora probably went to Boston because they were low-salaried managers.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a little different bringing Girardi in.
They're also
or
quiet.
Bringing Dusty Baker in.
They're also quiet guys who aren't going to cause the GM problems.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Correct. Like, if you're going to hire Bill Parcells and you don't make him general manager... there's going to be a problem.
One thing is pretty sure that it's clear that Houston didn't cheat this year because they did not win a home game.
No.
Yeah.
Wild, right?
Well, weren't the first four games all road?
All seven road teams lost.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's crazy. Is that the first time that's ever happened?
Lost.
Is that the first time that's ever happened?
Ever happened,
yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Ever happened in the history of the league. I want to touch on something you just said about baseball managers having to email lineups. NFL has to do the same thing, but they're getting fined. So if they don't disclose an injury before the game starts...
Or if they mischaracterize an injury.
Correct. They're getting fined massive amounts of money. And it's simply for gambling.
Well, but they say it so the other teams have...
You can look on your phone right now tonight in basketball. Mm-hmm. Is George doubtful? Is George going to play?
Yeah.
Game time decision?
Yeah.
What do you think all that's for?
Yeah, it's for gambling.
No, really?
But the leagues say it so the other teams can prepare accordingly. But
I understand it's
obviously for gambling.
I understand that.
Like, because you prepare for the team you're going to play. Even if, let's say you're talking about football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and Mecole Hardman's probably not going to play or whatever the fuck.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but you still prepare. Like, you don't, even if he's not going to play or even if he is going to play, you have to prepare for the eventuality that they're not going to use him that much in the game.
Yeah.
You still have to prepare your offense, right?
Like, it's maybe, like, I maybe wonder last night. I mean, just for, I didn't do anything with it, but the Lakers played Boston.
Yes.
Okay. Davis is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody's betting no Davis came back.
Yeah.
He played 12 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's it.
That was it.
Scored 7 points.
And they got crushed. Lakers got
by
crushed.
By 32.
Yeah, 32, yeah.
To the Celtics.
Kemba Walker's first time beating LeBron James
28 times.
28 times. And then tonight you have a similar situation where it's Zion's first game.
Tomorrow night.
First career game.
When this airs, it'll be then. But first career game. Couldn't be more excited.
He's going to play 15 minutes, maybe.
Yes. What do you think? 15 tops he'll play? That's it. But people are going to be betting on the Pelicans tomorrow. Yeah. So it's strange. It's strange. Me personally.
I don't know why these sports. Just don't understand that we live in a gambling world. It's going to happen one way or the other.
It's part of the
entertainment. So I think they are starting to understand we might as well buy into it and make the money like everybody else.
But that's why I think you're going to get in sooner than people think. That's just my guess.
Well, sooner than people think. It's been 30 years. I mean,
but gambling hasn't been legalized
for only about
a year and a half now. So I think it's going to become so prevalent. And again, like you said, going to the Raiders games, betting at halftime, people waiting for beer, that line's going to be short compared to people betting on the second half at these Raiders games. That's all going to change. And it's the same thing with history. They look back and they say, all right, great. Here was a guy who bet on his own team to win.
They'll probably be
That's not a big deal anymore.
Our breaks in between halves now.
Yeah.
Only here, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Only here.
Are you looking forward to the Raiders coming? Because obviously that's going to be a lot of
First of all, I'm a John Gruden fan, but I'm not a Raider fan.
Who's your team?
I don't have a team because my team stinks. The Bengals, they stink.
But they're going to get Joe Burrow.
They're getting Burrow.
They're going to get Burrow, but who's going to block for him?
That's true.
Who's going to catch for him?
Mixon will catch balls in the flat.
AJ Green is still there.
AJ Green's still there. Yeah,
I'm not so surprised. I wouldn't go out and get one of those Rivers or somebody like that. And Tom Brady's probably the guy from Ohio State.
Do you know
the big fight with Cowboy and the guy on Saturday night?
McGregor. Yeah, we were at the fight.
Cerrone, yeah.
We were
at the fight. Yeah. Fight. Yeah. All right, you saw Brady there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know who he was with?
John Gruden and Mr. Davis, the owner of the
Raiders. Davis,
And they showed him around town.
Yeah.
And he just sold his house. And now he
moved to Greenwich,
Yeah, and so what do you think is going on there?
Well, interestingly enough, after the fight happened.
I hope he comes to Vegas.
Dana White said he's either going to the Raiders or he's going back to the Patriots, and I can tell you because I was at ringside with him.
Yeah.
That would be great. I cannot believe that Mr. Kraft would let that guy leave Boston.
Me neither.
What he's done for that franchise, how much money he's made, Bob Kraft.
It's almost like letting Cal Ripken.
They should give him a blank check.
Yeah.
It's almost like letting Cal Ripken go to the Yankees or some shit. Like, you just can't let that happen, man.
And he's took a lot less money the last two or three years to stay underneath the cap.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, he can do that because he's got a wife that makes $50 million a year.
Yeah, they're fine. The Brady family's fine.
And I never read where Tom Brady was any kind of gambler or anything.
No.
So I don't understand why he wanted to come here.
You know,
he wants to get close to L.A.
Yeah, and he wants to win one without Belichick. That's a big deal.
Because his TB12 brand, the food and the lifestyle bullshit is all tied into L.A. Like,
correct.
Mindset.
And they want to go Hollywood with it.
What's he trying to become, a billionaire?
I mean,
how much money do you need?
I said, God, can you say that again? How much money do you need, really?
Don't you want to live your life and have fun? You got young kids, beautiful wife.
So does he. He's got like a 5 and 3 year old or some shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a bunch of kids. Let me ask you this.
Is he the greatest player ever?
He's got the greatest
coach
ever.
Is he the greatest football ever? Is he the greatest football player ever?
He's got the greatest coach ever.
Jim Brown is the best football player ever, in my opinion.
All right.
I lean
towards... So is he the greatest quarterback ever?
No.
Montana.
Tom Brady?
I still go Montana, you?
No, Tom Brady's the best quarterback ever.
All right, who do you got?
What about Drew Brees?
Drew Brees is great.
Except for the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's got all the records.
But not in the playoffs.
Did you bet on him? Because we bet on him a couple weeks ago.
He's got the records for touchdowns and records for yardage.
He does, but he's only got one Super Bowl, and that's a tough one to swallow.
Dan Marino don't have any.
I know.
Yeah. And Dan Marino's in the top
five. You can't talk about Super Bowls because Brady's got the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got Montana, and you got Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw 4, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's hard. You think Jim Brown, huh?
I really do because, like, I guess it depends on what your criteria is, though. For me, it's people who change the game. Like, I think Steph Curry and Michael Jordan are the two best, and LeBron James are the three best basketball players of all time.
Steph Curry's the best shooter.
He's the best shooter. But
pure shooter, yeah.
Yeah. So that's...
Is he a better shooter than Thompson?
Than Klay Thompson?
Boy, I'd love to see the two
overall,
of them.
Overall, yes, but in streaks, no. Like, if Klay's hot, there's no human being hotter than him.
Yeah.
Not even close. But if... And Curry, his consistency is so good.
I love Steph Curry. He's good.
I think like he was a game changer. Stepping back to 28 and 30 feet and shooting the ball changed the game. Jim Brown.
Well, the guy that changed the game was Dirk.
He's got all
the 7-footers.
He created the stretch four, yeah, for sure. And then for Jim Brown, he changed the way running backs ran.
Yeah.
And then O.J. came after him, and O.J. did that shit. And then everybody else.
You run into O.J. out here? You're in Vegas.
No, never.
Yeah. Were you friends with him before?
I've been with him before.
Yeah.
I used to go to all the Dolphin games, sit in a Hooters box with him.
Really?
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
He was a great guy. I don't know what he did. But I know O.J. taking pictures of everybody, holding babies.
Mm.
yeah. being nice to everybody in the box. When that came out, I said, "Now nah, win OJ." You know, the wonder way he acted. But I guess women can make you crazy.
Oh, they do all the time. Ask Dan about that. There was a girl who drove 13 hours to come to his house.
That's true. That's absolutely true, yeah.
We shutting her down, getting ready to close.
Yeah, I got one more question for you, Bo. What is it? Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl's coming up. We got Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And then we have the best offense against the best defense in the 49ers. Spread is minus one. Over-under is 56. Who you got in that? Every time I come out here, we always
If I bet the game today, I would bet Kansas City. Mm.
Same.
Mahomes is just unbelievable, and he's got a lot of weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the 49ers won a championship game the other day and threw the ball seven times.
Yeah.
They're going to have to throw it against Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not going to – because
– there's no way,
What did Kansas City do the other day to Henry? Got 69 yards.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to run the ball, San Francisco I'm talking about, against Kansas City like they did against Green Bay.
And that guy's
– Green Bay had no pass.
No, 49ers –
they had no rushing on the defense.
Running back is a backup. I mean, he's good. He's really good.
Set a record. He had 206 yards.
Yeah, 220 Mostert. And then, but I will say this: Coleman is out with a shoulder injury.
Coleman, yeah.
They're saying he might be back for the game itself. Yeah. My thing is this: if you know the team's going to run, same way with Henry in the last game, and they were able to shut him down, what's to prevent that in the Super Bowl? To me, I'm all in on the Chiefs on the Super Bowl.
High scoring.
We got the over.
Think the over, yes.
I've got the Chiefs by 10, and I think I honestly think the over should be closer to 60 than 54.
I've got it 35-26
or whatever it is.
Yes.
It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
See you next year.
I'm going to send you an IOU. I know. Last time
Show. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah, last time we did the show, I picked the World Series winner, and you came back, and you were like, hey, man, give me the tip next year. Tip is the Chiefs this year, Pete.
Continue success, guys.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, man.
A pleasure. For Pete Rose, D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everybody.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.